Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Go to parentpumpradio.com to leave your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows, and subscribe to our RSS feed so you'll be automatically notified of new shows. Our show is also syndicated on Missions with an S, radio.org, and liveleadplay.com. Take a listen to all the radio shows they have to offer. Thank you for joining us on this new segment to our radio show called Teen to Parent Talk, where we talk to some amazing 18 to 23-year-olds, young adults, who will not only offer and share with you the parents, their insights, their advice, their tribulations, their hopes and dreams, but they're also going to be giving the same advice to our teens. We'll be talking to these young adults about everything from social media to substance abuse to mental illness to divorce to dating. No stone will be unturned. No subject is too much or too little. Our goal is that these young adults will be bridging the gap between you and your children to create that beautiful, harmonic, deep, and meaningful family you're working towards creating. Studies show that our teens have the same stress and anxiety level of a 1950s psychiatric patient. And stress can be caused by a physical or emotional change or a change in the environment that requires you to adjust or respond. So things that make you feel stressed are called stressors. And stressors can be minor, it could be major life-changing events, or a kind of a combination of both. So what are some of the major issues that's causing stress and anxiety in our and even pressure on our teens? So one of the top things is school, of course. So their GPA, tests, college. Another one, which is that the second top, is their parents and family, the expectation and the pressure to do well from their family, not achieving, divorce and discord between the parents, and also even family financial problem. The third top thing is their physical and emotional changes in their body. The fifth thing is social life, their friends, their boyfriend, girlfriends, extracurricular activities, and even sex. And then just time in general, trying to keep up with what's going on, their deadline, lack of sleep. You got too many things going on. And then last is sports. Our guest today is a third year molecular cellular developmental biology major at UCLA. She's currently in her second semester of a year abroad at the University of Sydney in Australia. She loves to travel, to run, watch movies and TV, and talk about football. She wants to be a surgeon one day and is excited about the years to come when that dream comes closer and closer to reality. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Leah Sepenick. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So you're in Australia. I'm a little jealous.
Yes, yes. The sun has finally come out. It's been cloudy for the past few days, but it's so beautiful. It's summer here.
Where in Australia are you?
Sydney.
Okay. How is college different in Sydney as opposed to UCLA?
You know, surprisingly, it's quite similar to UCLA. The structure and the difficulty of classes is very similar. It's interesting to see how students from other countries take university just as seriously and are working just as hard as students in America. It's actually quite similar, which made adapting to this new environment much easier.
Oh, cool. I'm sure it's so much fun to be there. So what do you do in your free time in Sydney?
Yeah, we go to the beach. We love to just walk around the city and go down to the Rocks area, which is where there's the Harbour Bridge and the Opera House and the Botanical Gardens. We always go along to the pubs and hang out just in the local neighborhood.
So you've made some really good friends there.
Yes, amazing friends. The people here are incredibly nice and friendly and open. A lot of my friends are international, so a part of my group is local Australians, but a large part of the group is English exchange students, any sort of Southeast Asian or Asian exchange students. So there's such a large group that it's super diverse. And so there's, you know, somebody from everywhere.
You want to be a surgeon and your major is biology. What made you decide that?
I have always wanted to be a surgeon ever since I was little. I was never one of those kids that wanted to be a professional athlete or a movie star. I always wanted to be a surgeon. The type of surgeon is obviously still up for debate, but I'm sure of that.
That's really cool that you know what you want to be. So many of us don't even know. I know people in their 60s who are still trying to figure out what they want to be.
I feel lucky. And every time I participate in something that is, you know, in a hospital environment, like when I volunteered or if I've shadowed a doctor, every time I do that, it just reassures me that this is exactly what I want to do.
That is cool. So I want to segue right into our topic today because you have some great, great things to say. Now, I want the listeners to know that I don't pick the topic. I have the young adults, these teens, they pick what they want to talk about, what they feel is important in going on in their life to share with you and to help you see a little bit of what they're going through. So Leah's topic is that she wanted to talk about participating in activities and working towards goals for yourself and not for your parents or for other people. Yeah. Let's talk about deciding college, because I think that's one of the biggest pressure for high school students, right? Yeah. Where to go? What was your process in choosing what college to apply to and ultimately choosing what that college?
Yes. For me, I, of course, had the dream schools, the Stanfords and the Harvards and the Browns of this country in mind. Those are always in the back of your mind as the ultimate goal. But when it came down to actually applying to schools that I would be happy at for 4 years, that list changed. And I think that image of going to an Ivy League and going to these top academic, super competitive, super well-known schools clouds people's judgment when they're choosing the right school for themselves and what school they'll be happy at. In my process, I learned a lot because I think that my parents did it right. And I watched some of my friends go through their process and saw the differences between they and their families handled the situation versus me and my family. My parents always said, go wherever you want. I was lucky enough to have my parents help me pay for college. So that was not as much of a deciding factor for me and my decision, but I know that it oftentimes is. But they said, we want you to go wherever you want. We don't want you to go to our alma mater. We don't want you to go to where your sister went to school. We want you to go where you want to go. So when I was deciding, you're taking into account all of the different factors, not just academics, but you're taking into account the social social scenes there. You're taking into account where it is, if it's in the suburbs, if it's in an urban area, if it's in a rural area, what kind of culture comes with that area. So when I was choosing schools, I knew that I wanted to be in a campus feeling school town, but I wanted there to be a city nearby because I wanted to have that broad cultural experience with having a large city near. You know, my sister went to NYU, where that's just a school that's plopped right in the middle of the city and there's no real campus feel. So I knew, okay, that's not something that I want personally.
So now you mentioned that you saw your parents did it right. At least it helped you. And you saw other parents didn't do it so well. So what did that look like?
Yeah. So I don't want to say they did it wrong because everybody's different and everybody needs different guidance. You know, some people need more guidance than others. So what my parents' approach to it was, we want to make sure that you will be happy. And there's not just one school for everybody. You know, there's not just one school to go to, that there's a school for everybody and everybody will find their place at a school. It wasn't reaching this pinnacle school of the highest academic or the highest ranking in the country. It was finding the school that I would fit into and that what I would be happy at, because if you're not happy for those 4 years, then you're not going to learn and you're not going to, you know, have a good experience.
Were the other kids having more pressure from their parents?
Yeah. The other things that I saw were parents pushing their kids into athletics and getting athletic scholarships and basically putting so much pressure on athletics and so much attention to athletics that they forgot about the purpose of college, and that is for after college. The purpose of going to college is to do something after college, right? So you're going to college just to play your sport, and you're going to a school that perhaps isn't centralized around the career that you have in mind, or it's not gonna, you know, in an area that you will be happy in. Well, then you're settling for your sport, which is going to end after those 4 years. Because like we've all heard many times, we're not all going to go to the NFL. We're not all going to go to the EA. So we have to be realistic, right?
Because not everybody's going to get into the college of their choice. Maybe not even the, definitely not the first one. Maybe not even the second or the third one. So what happens when March and April comes around? And what you've been planning for the last 4 years, everything you've been working towards to create this amazing resume to get accepted, and that doesn't happen.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me. I had my heart set on Stanford. I was all in. I had the resume on paper. I was the perfect student for Stanford, and I didn't get in, and I was devastated. Your first feeling is disappointment that you weren't good enough, obviously. Yeah. Then you come into this embarrassment because you've told people that you've applied to Stanford and that, or that you've applied to this school, and you know that they are waiting to hear how it went for you. And so then you're like, oh God, what do I say? But then you come to realize that, wait, I've applied to 5, 10, 15 other schools. Why did I apply to these schools? I obviously applied to them because I have some sort of interest vested in them. Let's see how it goes. You have to let that rejection go because there's nothing you can do about it. And so then you look forward to the next thing and you wait, you hear back from all your schools, and you take what you've got and you make the most of it. Okay. And I can promise every student that maybe they won't find the right school on the first try, but they'll find their niche at a school and find happiness at a school if they put themselves out there and they open up their mind to this school that they perhaps didn't have as a first choice or a second choice.
I'm going to go back to this resume building thing that you had mentioned to me earlier. Yeah. How much are kids spending time just focusing on this and not really enjoying what they're doing and not even realizing that they don't even like it? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I would say subconsciously, the entire 4 years of high school is all about resume building. I think any student that has goals of going to college and goals of getting higher education, that's an underlying thought in everything that they're doing. Now, choosing the things to do may not be based on that resume. So if you are interested in the arts and you're going to do art classes and pursuing, you know, different types of activities that have to do with that, well, then you're also doing it to please yourself. Yes, it's going to look good on a resume, but you're also enjoying yourself. Yeah. It's when kids get caught up in this, okay, I need to have 200 hours of volunteer work. What's going to look the best? Maybe I should feed the homeless. Okay, so we're going to do that. Now we're going to take a trip to Africa and deworm orphans because that's going to look really good. And then I need to play a sport, maybe two sports, because that will look good because team sports look good and individual sports. So it's when you start making this list of things that you should be doing simply because you need to have it on a resume.
Instead of what you want to do.
Instead of doing things because you want to do them and then saying, oh, wow, this could look really good on my resume. I should add it.
That's a really good point. Because once you get to those high school years, the only thing that people are focused on is college. You know what? Maybe there are some people that have been successful without going to college and they've gone to trade school.
Yeah.
And they've started their own business.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's because they pursued what they were interested in and not what society has deemed as the next step.
And so you mentioned earlier, it's also a pressure from the parent and maybe from themselves and their friends and their peer, and a pressure of what you're supposed to do. And everybody falls into that, and like subconsciously, you just kind of go down. Just like you, if you see a line, you just get into it. You don't even ask what's this line for or how long is it and do I even want this? This is a really good point about being conscious of your choices and realizing that it's not about what you should be doing, but really about you enjoying what you're doing, like you're saying, and what you want to do. Now that you're in college, what's been some of the challenges or issues you face, and how did you overcome or cope with it?
I think that the biggest issue in college is you're taken from a small pond and you're thrown into the ocean, and you're a little bit overwhelmed about how many other amazing people there are surrounding you. And you're at a college of people that are similar to you because you've all gotten into this school on the same criteria. So, you know, you're surrounded by all these other people that are so intelligent and have these amazing ideas and are so involved. And you're like, oh my God, wait, what did I even do? Like, what makes me special, you know?
Yeah, it's like you were the best in high school, but now you're among the best of every high school. So you're now average.
I always joke with my parents, exactly. I'll say, college has made me super average. And they always go, no, Leah, you're above average. You're good. You're special. And I'm like, but actually, in the grand scheme of it, I am just like, you know, I am settling into the middle ground of this big school. And that's okay. Like, that's just the fact that I'm here and I'm learning. That's enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to be the smartest person in the classroom. And I don't need to be the most involved or the most, you know, athletic or the most, you know, giving the most time. If I can just settle in and succeed on my own terms, then that's a successful college career.
Awesome. I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
As you were talking, I kind of went back to what we were talking about, pressure. And I was thinking of myself and what pressure I put on my kids, because statistics does show that we as parents are the source of the pressure for our children, right? They come home to us and you've raised them. Do you agree with that statistic? And what are we doing as parents that's causing this stress and pressure?
Yes. I think that all parents see their children as reflections of their own parenting, right? And I think that oftentimes parents get caught up in using their kid as some sort of little trophy for what they see as achieving goals and being successful. So I think that parents put their own ideas of what is successful and what their kids should be doing and force that onto their kids just to increase their own reputation as a parent. So if I'm a parent and I have a kid that's super successful and doing all these amazing things, well, darn, that looks good on me, right? I think that sometimes parents get too caught up in that and get too caught up in comparing their kids to other kids and, you know, having this inner competitiveness with other parents about what their kids are doing. Because, you know, as a parent, you're already established, you're already, you know, you're not fighting for volunteer hours and spots on the soccer team, but your kids are. You still use that as kind of a sense of pride, which is totally okay. You should be proud of your kid, of what they're doing and everything like that. And by all means, brag about their achievements, but don't force them into doing things because you want them to be the captain of the soccer team. So let's have them take 10 hours of private lessons every week.
What's the best way to push your child without being overbearing or causing them to feel like you're pressuring them.
I think that parents need to watch how they react to their kids' activities and how they speak about the activities and encourage their kids. So, you know, when I was playing sports, I played competitive soccer growing up. And my parents always said, as long as you're having fun, you play hard, you put all your effort in, you know, there's no reason to just be fickle and whatever. Like, of course, you can try other things, but if you're going to do something, as long as you're having fun, then by all means, go for it and do everything you can. But as soon as you're not having any more fun, then we need to reevaluate it and see what's happening. And they said that continuously throughout my years of playing soccer. And therefore, I always knew in the back of my mind, it's my decision. If I'm not having any more fun, then it's my decision, and I can, and it's okay. But I feel like kids fear their parents and disappointing their parents by the parent not expressing that it's okay for the kid to make the decision, and by the kid not knowing that it's okay that they make their own decision. They get caught in this web of, I have to keep playing, I have to keep competing.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, even after a while, if the kid even realized that he's feeling overwhelmed and pressure until the rubber band snaps and they're having a breakdown or something's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that it's easy when you're younger and all your friends are playing the same sports as you and it's all very fun and recreational. But when it comes to high school and you're looking at scholarships and you're looking at getting into colleges because of your athletics, the stakes are a little bit higher.
Like you said, there's so many activities once you get to high school because you have to build that resume. Mm-hmm. So then what do you think is the balance, the right proper balance between all of these crazy activities?
I think that everybody's balance is different. Each kid has the ability to take on a different amount of stress and workload. So if you find that your interests lie in academic like subjects, then maybe you take those extra AP classes and go to the extra limits of achieving in the classroom. But maybe you take a step back from being on the athletic team or take a step back from being in five clubs. So you kind of have to listen to yourself and you have to know yourself. And I think that that's difficult to do at this age with teens, because this is the time when you're kind of finding out who you are and what you like. You have to make mistakes and you have to join things and try things and then realize later, oh shoot, this is not for me. I need to quit it. And you can't be afraid to quit also. It's not a bad thing. We have this stigma around quitting things.
Yeah.
But if you're not putting your all into it, then is it even worth your time or the other people's time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
I think that that's important to realize.
Yeah. And I think also it's good to try a variety of things. And like you said, it's not about quitting. It's just about, it's like going to a buffet bar and trying the different food in the buffet and seeing if you like it. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that you're not going to eat it. I mean, it's just right now. You might like it later on more as a hobby instead of an academic type of sports for college. So then I'm sure this quitting thing, part of it is maybe not achieving what you want.
Yeah.
How do you deal with or cope with when you don't get what you want? Because not all of us are going to get it. And when you're younger, it's that instant gratification, right?
And it's hard to not take it personally.
It's right. Me being in my 40s, I've had a lot of rejection. So I get what it feels like. But when you're in your teens, maybe the first few rejection that you really felt like you didn't get, how do you cope with it?
Yeah, I think that you have to remove yourself from the application process or the decision process of getting rejected, that it's not a personal attack on you as a person, but that it's you were not the right person for that position at that time. I remember when I was applying to Stanford, they sent all the applicants an email before decisions came out saying, we want you to know that if we're looking for a purple-haired, blue-eyed, spotted people eater, and you are not that person, then it's not your lucky day, right? You're be everything, right? But if we're looking for a 6 foot tall basketball player and you're a scientist, I'm so sorry, it's not your day. You have to remove yourself and your personal worth from the application that you've submitted or from the election that you are taking part in. Believe me, I lost elections. I participated in student government from the 7th grade all the way to the 12th grade. And I lost elections and it sucked and it hurt your feelings and you felt rejected by your peers. And that's almost worse than getting rejected by a college because your peers are supposed to be the ones that are on your side. But you move on. There's other things to worry about. And if you can distract yourself for a while from that hurt by filling your time with other things that make you happy, then that hurt will dissipate and you'll move on.
So how many colleges did you apply to?
I applied to 8 schools. So wow. I actually was on the lower list of,
really?
Of number of schools. Yes, I know students that applied to 15, 20 schools.
Wow.
Which okay. was absurd, but yeah. yes. So
what is the biggest thing that people think they know about getting into college that isn't so?
I think that people think that having top of the line scores on every single criteria, so top scores in athletics, top scores in academics, top scores in hours of volunteering. I think that they think that everything has to be at the top in order for you to be successful. And I think what colleges like to see is, and now I'm no expert, but I think that they want to see you focusing on 1 to 2, maybe even 3, but that's pushing it and really giving your all into those few things instead of being all over the place with everything and, you know, having a million different things going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because, so then, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because the purpose of college is to narrow that scope and narrow that scope into one career. And so if you're all over the place and you don't really have any sort of direction, then I think that could be a disadvantage.
Okay. We're wrapping up. We have about 5 minutes. What I want to ask you is, what advice or words of wisdom would you give parents of today regarding pressure and understanding what you guys are going through regarding college and schools?
I think that parents need to be happy that their kid is happy. If you see your kid doing something that makes them happy, maybe that's not the ideal thing that you had in mind for them, or that's not the thing that you thought is going to get them into college. But if they're happy doing it, then you should be happy and you should be satisfied with that. And I think that kids need to know also that they shouldn't be afraid to stand up to their parents and say, look, I don't like this. And I know that you like that I'm doing this, but I don't like this. And perhaps the parent will be disappointed. And as a parent, you know, you think you know what's right for your kid. But if your kid stands up to you and tells you something, you're going to love them regardless. You're not going to resent them for quitting an activity that you thought was great for them. You're going to move forward. And when you see your kid happily doing something that they love, that should be good enough.
Great word of wisdom. Who inspires you to do what you do?
Definitely my parents. Both of my parents are incredibly supportive. They always...
What's their name? You can give a shout out to them.
Yeah. My dad's name is Jim and my mom's name is Darren. I think looking back at it, they did it right. I feel so privileged that I had parents like them, and I want to parent my own children in the future similar to the way that they've parented me, because they always encouraged me to do my best, and that was all they asked for. My best is good enough, and they continue to tell me that, and they continue to make actions that show that as well, that my best is good enough. Their focus was not about the grades, and it wasn't about number of goals I scored at a soccer game or number of hours I spent volunteering. It was, did you try your best? Did you have fun? Well, then that's all you can do.
What sounds to me is that they weren't focused on where you were going. They were more focused on where you are and that you are happy and doing what you want to do now. And it's the power of now, right? I mean, Eckhart Tolle has a book called The Power of Now, and that we need to focus on now, because really that's all we have is now. Mm-hmm. We might not even be around 5 years, 10 years, you know, whatever it is from now. Yeah. And if you don't enjoy this moment, you're going to miss out. And I think your parents, like you said, did it right, that they just kept you focused on now. And if it's what you're doing is happy, and if you're happy, then we're happy. So that is awesome. I commend your parents, and I can see why they inspire you.
Yes.
I have three really fun questions at the end that I'm going to start asking you guys. And I already pre-amped you this, so you had some time to think. What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is, "Don't take life too seriously. You'll never make it out alive."
That kind of goes very well with our talk today.
Yes.
What is your favorite book?
My favorite book is Lord of the Flies. I read it freshman year in English class and absolutely fell in love with it. Could read it over and over and over again.
That's cool. Okay. Tell us an embarrassing thing that happened to you.
Okay. This is so embarrassing, and I don't even know why I'm saying this on a radio show. But I had a sinus infection, and I was on some antibiotics. And I was at school one day, and I was having some major stomach issues. And I texted my mom saying, "These antibiotics are giving me really bad diarrhea. Help." And my friend Philip texted me back and goes, "Ha ha ha, what?" I texted my friend Philip that I was having diarrhea from the antibiotics that I was taking for a sinus infection. I was mortified.
Was he a good sport about that?
He was a good sport. He just thought it was hilarious. Please never bring this up again.
Make sure he doesn't post it on social media and it goes viral somewhere. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight. I think that it will help somebody out there. And listener, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.